Well, good evening, everyone. My name is Warren Lance, and what a treat it was to hear people calling in from all over the globe. I mean, we had the Sunshine Coast, the Gold Coast, we had Victoria, we had Montreal, we had Alberta, BC, and places in the U.S. I mean, how incredible. Anyways, guys, like each week, not only do we want to inspire you into taking action, but we actually want to give you some tools to move your business forwards. Because this industry of network marketing is a spectacular industry if you treat it like a profession. So as you heard earlier, please, as Frank said, have your pen and paper ready, because the individual that I have the absolute privilege of introducing has been in this industry for almost 20 years. He's built an organization with over 400,000 distributors, over 2 million customers. He's an individual, get this. I was told in the industry, if you could enroll 6 to 8 people a month consistently, you'd become a rock star. Well, someone told this gentleman that, and he thought, okay, to be on the safe side, I want to be a rock star, I better do 10 a month. And so he started. And he did it for 1 month, 2 months, 6 months, 12 months, and then he got challenged, and he actually did it for 10 years straight. 10 new enrollments a month for 10 years straight, guys. This gentleman absolutely knows what it takes to build in this industry. I'm absolutely privileged to be able to call him a friend. He's a multiple seven-figure money earner. It is my absolute privilege to welcome to the call tonight the one, the only, Mr. Brian Carruthers. How are you doing, Brian?
Warren, great to be on with you, my friend. How are you?
Having a lot of fun. Just came back from, 6 weeks down in Australia and New Zealand. Then I was down in, Arizona, and then off to Ontario. But you know what? The interesting thing is it doesn't seem like work. When you're helping people and speaking belief in people and just making a difference in their lives, it doesn't feel like work, my friend.
Totally get it. I totally understand. I feel the same way.
It's why we do what we do. So before we jump into our call, because I'm really fired up about the topics for tonight's call, and it's all about exploding your business, like really getting your business going, can we just roll back the clock of time? I know you were a very successful realtor. Your father built one of the largest real estate firms on the East Coast back in the 1970s. How did you get into the network marketing industry? I mean, you were doing well in real estate. Why network marketing?
To make the story very short, because I know everybody wants some training, I can tell you that I at first was not interested in network marketing at all. I had some of the same stigma that some other people kind of feel about multi-level marketing. So for me, when I actually was introduced to the industry, I turned it down. When I had it brought back to me again by a friend, and he drove up to my house with a new Mercedes convertible. Here's the same guy that a year before that was making $19,000 a year driving a used car, working as a working in downtown Philly in a one bedroom apartment. I said something's going on here, and that caught my attention. And he asked me some questions, and if you read my book, Making My First $10 Million, you've heard the story about how he related network marketing to my dad's real estate company, and it's better to be the broker and hire a bunch of agents to sell houses for you. And network marketing uses the same business model. You go out and be the broker and hire a bunch of other people to help you sell a product or service, and it just made sense to me. And I got started up in the business. My first handful of years, I didn't really make much money, but I learned a lot. And then it clicked. And when it clicked, it clicked. And for the last 17 years, I've been with this company clicking away. And like you said, for 10 years straight, every month, at least 10 recruits personally. The team has exploded. And they've been paid over $350 million collectively in their pockets. So nobody can tell me that network marketing doesn't work. They might not work, but this business works, right? So, at the end of the day, it's a blessing to be a part of this incredible profession. It's blessed me to be able to be a dad a stay-at-home dad. My son's life is entire 9.5 years. I just got married to the most amazing, beautiful woman, Melissa, in December. We moved into our dream home, an 8,000-square-foot home overlooking the Potomac River in Virginia. And, hey, look, life is good. So, you know, there's two of us. You and I both are success stories, that everybody could – people should not look at your story and other people's success stories from a standpoint of, oh, well, that's them. It should be inspiring. When I saw people that were that had what I wanted, I wasn't jealous of them. Because, look, if they said, hey, look at me, you can never have this, I'd be jealous and mad. But when somebody says, hey, look at me, come over here, grab my hand, I'll help you get here, that was amazing to me.
Absolutely. And I've been blessed to have some amazing mentors in this industry, both within my company and from other companies. Because it's interesting, there's no reason why you and I can't be friends when we're operating in the same profession. We don't have to be in the same company. And that's what I really like, is our industry is truly becoming of a profession. The leadership in the field is rising up to a whole new level where people, not just Crossline, but people in completely other companies are becoming some of my best friends. And that's exciting. That really excites me. But let's get down to what everyone's so excited about. And let's start with this, because we all want to get our businesses in momentum. Whether you're brand new starting out, you want to launch your business, right? Or if you're working already, sometimes you plateau. And I know you're really big on this concept that there's three invisible roadblocks that networkers hit without knowing it. And without the awareness that something just happened, all of a sudden there comes the plateau. Can we delve a little bit deeper into that? Because I think this is gold.
Well, absolutely. So, and by the way, I think that there's many roadblocks that people don't see. So I'll just pick three of them. Look, if you can't see it, you can't diagnose it, you can't identify what the problem is and remove it. So that's why, look, if you look in the mirror, if you feel sick and you look in the mirror and you can't see what's wrong, you go to an internal medicine doctor and they can figure out what might be going wrong that you can't see. That's why doctors stay in business. Well, I'm going to talk about three. Number one, I think I just started to touch on, which is jealousy. There's a lot of people that want – look, everybody starts a network marketing business wanting to succeed. I've never had anybody fill out an application and say, hey, I'm here to fail. No, everybody wants to win. Everybody wants to do well, make money, get some time freedom and get recognized and all the great things that come along with success in this business. The problem that I see some people have is that they compare themselves to other people. And they want what those people have, from the success standpoint, but sometimes they don't keep the perspective. If somebody's been in the business for 5 years and they're making $20,000 a month, and you've been in the business 1 year and you're making $500 a month, what's the difference? Well, it could be a matter of time that they've been able to invest in the business that you haven't had that calendar space yet. It could be the attitude. It could be the mindset. It could be the philosophies. It could be the work ethic. It could be their music and how they're coming across. There's so many variables there. So I would say don't compare yourself to anyone unless you're using it as a way to inspire you to become better. Like Jim Rohn always said, don't wish for things to get easier. Wish for you to get better. So I would say number one, look in the mirror and figure out how you can get better. And work on your belief. Work on your focus. Work on your energy. Work on your urgency. Work on your music. So that's number one. Don't be jealous. Be inspired by other people. And I'm telling you, some of you may not even. This might not be resonating with everybody right now. But at some point, someday, you're going to think back to this call and you're like, Brian was right. You get jealous and you got to check that and you got to reverse it and spin it in a positive direction for you. Secondly, being outwardly concerned about your own goals. Early on, I made up for my fault in this category with my sheer willingness to outwork everybody. I was 28 years old when I got into my company. I was willing to go out and work my tail off, making 20, 30, 40, 50 phone calls a day. So I was willing to really pay the price. So it was all about me, though. I wanted to make millions of dollars. I wanted the Ferrari. I wanted a nice house. I wanted to be able to attract a good girl in my life. And all these things was me, me, me. And people can tell when you're so concerned about you. And by the way, there is nothing wrong with being concerned about you. So please understand, everybody has an ego. And a lot of people that will argue with me and say, no, I don't have an ego. Well, no, everybody has an ego. And it's not a bad thing to have an ego. Just like God gave us free will, God gave us an ego. And here's the thing. You know, every human being wants to be loved and respected. And I'm going to give you an example. I donate a lot of money to charitable causes, and I don't tell the whole world about every little or big donation that I do. But you know, it still feeds my ego, even though I'm not outwardly saying to the world, "Hey, look at me, give me props for going out and giving away this money." I don't do that. But inside, it feeds my internal ego. It gives me a sense of fulfillment, a sense of joy, a sense of confidence that I can go out there and in my own way change the world. So again, what I'm simply saying is, it's good to have your own goals. Yes, you should want to make a lot of money and to make life easier for you and to be able to do good things for your family and to have a nice home to come home to, okay? To be able to travel like Warren and Arlene, you know, going around the country, around the world, that's awesome. But the key in network marketing is helping other people get their goals met. So, yes, you can be concerned about your own goals internally, but outwardly, you know, be the leader who is actually just doling out recognition and praise and attention to everybody else. You know, and when you shine a spotlight on everybody else, they're all going to someday shine their spotlights on you. That's number two, that invisible roadblock. You know, get that out of the way and start focusing on your people. And then number three, don't drag your past forward. And this is a very big one. What I find is that if you get into a place where you're not doing very well in your business, okay, I'm going to give you an example. I'm sure you would. Let me give you an analogy first. I've never experienced this, and I don't wish this upon anybody. But let's say you're married and your spouse cheats on you. It would be devastating. I can only imagine it would wreck you. So your marriage dissolves, you break up, and you go your separate ways. I bet you that you feel that you just can't trust anybody. The trust is destroyed. But a year later, you stumble upon some person, however you meet them, and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm in love again. I really love this person. And you say, hey, I want to connect with this person. I want to marry this person. But the problem is that you go into that new relationship with a trust factor that's been broken. And if you go into that relationship and you just don't have a full 100% level of trust, do you think that that marriage or that relationship has a fighting chance? No way. Its foundation is on trust. And because somebody in your past broke your heart, you're going to have it sabotage or affect your future, your next relationship. Why? Because you're dragging your past forward into a new relationship. It's not fair to the other person that you're now with. Same thing in this business. Here's what happens. So let's say the last 10 people you recruited did nothing. Okay? That's not very happy. You know, that stinks. You know, 10 people you brought aboard, they didn't go out and sell anything, they didn't qualify, they didn't do anything. Well, because your company is so incredible, your opportunity is so amazing, let's say you're still able, because you're using third party and using the tools and the system and all that, you're still able to recruit, you know, Mary on board as your 11th recruit. She's your next person you sign up. The challenge is Mary probably is not going to have much chance of succeeding. You know why? Your past experience with your last 10 people that did not do well, they failed. You're going to unconsciously project that failure onto Mary because, of course, subconsciously, you're expecting her to do what all the others have done. So check this out. If you call up Mary after you just brought her aboard, and with this backdrop in your mind, subconsciously going on, you're going to probably say, hey, Mary, look, you know, I'm glad you're, you know, came on board in the business, and I want to see what we can do to maybe help you get started. Maybe you can invite a few people over, and we'll show them what we do and see if anybody's interested in you know, buying something or signing up, you know, and being a part of this. Or, you know, if we can't get people to come over there, maybe we can get some people on a conference call and maybe explain some of the stuff over the phone. Yeah, you know, you think we can do that? You think maybe we can, you know, get a few people, you know, on board for you? Is that confident? Is that positive? No, that's weak sauce. I mean, so what we need to do is recognize that what we're doing subconsciously. So I'll give you the flip opposite of that. If the last 10 people that you brought aboard all qualified, they all got started, they got some volume under their belt, they got paid, they got promoted, they're rock and roll, they're excited. You know how you're going to call Mary if that was the case? Hey, Mary, hey, look, it's Brian. I'm so excited to have you on the team. Here's what we need to do. We're going to get some people over to your house. We're going to show them what we do. We're going to get them all signed up. And anybody who couldn't make it, we're going to get them on a conference call. We're going to share the information with them in 15 minutes and get all of them signing up on your website. We're going to get you paid and promoted in the next 48 hours. You ready to rock and roll?
Wow.
It's the same Mary. It's the same company, same product, same comp plan, same everything, same prospect or same new recruit, same you. But what's the difference? It's your past. It's either you're carrying your past forward and dragging it in and projecting on Mary, or you're actually saying, you know what? Those last 10 people didn't do much, but that was them. That was their deal. I'm severing that from the future, and I'm not going to sabotage Mary. So hopefully those three ideas, what I believe are invisible roadblocks that can hold people back. Look, this is a really simple business. We get customers, and we find customer getters to go get more customers, and we keep on duplicating that. That's what all network marketing really is. But then you've got – the business model is so simple, and it works so perfectly until you add human beings into the equation, and we mess everything up because we're all messed up units. So if we understand that, we've got – sometimes, you know, I'm Warren, I bet you feel this the same way as I do, you know, after being, you know, doing this for full-time for 17 years. You know, yes, I can teach somebody how to sell a product, and I can teach somebody how to go out and recruit somebody on board. Okay, those are things that I can do. But you know what I find is we're also like psychiatrists. Sometimes we have to help people dig down below the surface and figure out what's stopping them. Sometimes people say, you know, fear. Fear is holding me back. I'm afraid to pick up the phone. I'm afraid to set an appointment. I'm afraid to, you know, take somebody to a meeting. I'm afraid to do whatever. Let me tell you something. If you're waiting for fear to go away, then you're never going to win. You know, here's what I know. I'm always afraid. Can you guys hear the fear in my voice right now? You probably can't. But guess what? I'm always afraid. But I do it anyway. For example, I don't like to read. But I read anyway because I like what I get from reading. I do not enjoy reading, but I do it anyway because I like the result I get from it. I don't enjoy calling up a prospect on the phone that I've never met. I don't enjoy being out and about and meeting somebody at the store or at the gas station and bringing up a business opportunity out of the blue. It's weird. But guess what? I do it anyway. Why? Because I wanted to live in this $2 million home. Because I wanted to be a stay-at-home dad. So I like the result. I don't like necessarily like the activity. And fear, I'm an introvert. And I told people this on my webinar last night, and I know nobody believes me because I talk so fast and with confidence and all that. But I had to meet my wife on Match.com because I'm too afraid to walk up to a pretty girl somewhere. So, you know, don't live in fear, you guys. You know, if you have fear, which everybody's going to, and even the most confident people I know, if you ever, you know, got, you know, three or four beers in them and you got them to confess, they'll tell you that they live in fear. I used to box in college, and I'll come back to you, Warren. I know I'm going on a little ramble here, but when I boxed in college, Coach Selby was he worked with Muhammad Ali for a couple years. He was really good at what he did, and one day I asked him. I said, "Hey, look, I get nervous every time I put on the gloves to go spar." I said, "When are those nerves going to go away?" You know what he said? He said, "The day your nerves go away is the day you're going to get knocked out." Nerves keep you sharp. It keeps you on your toes. You want to keep those nerves. So hopefully that gives everybody some things to think about.
Love it. Absolutely love it. And it's almost like like courage comes before confidence, right? You gotta have the courage to take action, and you do that often enough. Now you have the confidence, right? But what I love about what you were sharing there, Brian, is about dragging your past, and you did the two analogies about Mary. both times you said the same thing. However, it was the language. It was the language. It was how you said what you said. Because typically, everyone, you're in one particular company, has the same ownership, has the same product, has the same compensation plan, has the same tools available, yet some people succeed while others don't. And the only variable is us. And in many cases, I can't, like listening to you, Brian, your language is so powerful. That's a huge part of your success. No doubt you're driven and you're committed and you do the things even when you don't feel like it, but you've refined your language. And you quoted Jim Rohn there, right? There's a reason for it. He keeps putting in this great information, guys. It's a huge clue. And now all of a sudden it starts coming out over time. Love it. Absolutely love it. Now, the other thing is you have three things that people that are, they're doing well. Like, let's say you're a six-figure money earner or multiple six-figure money earner. You're one of the stars, I mean, rock stars of an organization. What are some of the things that could boost these people to the next level?
Well, I mean, I like that question because a lot of times people in network marketing get to the top of their pay plan and they become the guy or the gal, and they stop doing what they did to get there. I call it getting off the elevator. And in my locker room training, which I just launched last night, it's a five-hour deep dive way below the surface on all of these topics so we can really root out and get everything uncovered. But one of the things I talk about is that a lot of top earners, they get to 10, 20, 30,000 a month. They want to go to 100 grand a month where you and other people are. They want to be where you are. But for some reason, they hit this glass ceiling, and they think that there's something holding them back. Let me tell you something. There is no glass ceiling there. There's no ceiling at all. They just chose to get off the elevator. The elevator keeps going up, but they got off at whatever level that they got off at. Some people get off at $500 a month. Some people get up at $5,000 a month. Some people get up at $25,000 a month. What do I mean by that? Whatever you did to get to $10,000 a month, if you keep doing it, it'll take you even higher. But see, the problem is that when people get to a place where they stop doing it, their team watches them get off the elevator, and so their team wants to be like them. So when they're off the elevator, guess what? Their team, who respects and admires them, they get off the elevator with them because that's what they're supposed to be doing, following the leader. So here's what I would say, three things. Number one, I'm going to start with the third thing I wrote down here, which is, you know, be a top recruiter again. I'll tell you this, you know, not only did I recruit 10 people a month for my first 10 years, but I didn't stop. As an example, 2016, here we are, first quarter's behind us. For the first quarter of 2016, in my entire company, guess who the number one recruiter was? It was me. Not because I need to recruit more people. I actually don't. I mean, I made almost $2 million for my business last year. And so I don't need new personal recruits to be able to pay me more money to pay my bills. The reason why I choose to recruit more people is because I want to be an evergreen example that people can follow. If I get on a training call with my team, I say, hey guys, here's what you can go do to recruit. I don't get on there and say, hey, here's what I did back in 1999 or 2001. I can say, hey, look, here's what I did this morning with my new recruit I just brought aboard. And that's so powerful. So all of you guys that are on the line right now, if you're sitting there at $8,000 a month and you want to get to $16,000 a month, whatever it is, just make the decision that you're going to go out there and be more of an example of the actions that you want your team to follow. Because there's an old saying, I'd rather watch a leader than to listen to one any day of the week. You know, you can tell them from your pulpit, if you will, all the things that you want them to go do. But I would encourage you to lead by example because your actions speak far louder and motivate more than your words will. Okay. The second thing, recognize what you want more of. This is a leadership thing. You know, there's a lot of great leaders, I'm sure, that are on this call because I know your organization is just exploding, and that doesn't happen without layers of leadership. There is no organization I've ever seen in network marketing where it was one leader at the top who was making all this money and a whole bunch of Indians. There's never one chief in all Indians. There's a lot of chiefs that it takes to build a monster, you know, network marketing empire. So recognize what you want more of. If you want your people and your team to sell more product, every time somebody makes a sale, they don't have to have hit some huge rank and become a an ultra diamond or something. I mean, if they sell a, if they set up a customer, call them or text them or email them or recognize them on Facebook. If they set up a recruit, recognize them. If they rank advance, even at the lower levels, recognize them. If you just get it and become a professional recognizer of people's accomplishments, big or small. You know, if you ask somebody to go out and recruit and they do it, and then nobody says anything about it. It'll become very anticlimactic. You know, again, I'm telling you, I'm so guilty of this over the years. I get so busy and caught up in all the things I'm doing, and I miss this a lot. So I'm telling you, when I'm pointing my finger at you all to do this right now, I've got three more fingers pointing back at me. I'm trying to get as better and better and better at this as I possibly can. Now my wife, Melissa, is helping me out with this as well, watching out for every little victory anybody's doing and helping me to remind me to recognize them and throw up recognition on our Facebook page and so forth. But definitely recognize more of what you want. If you say, hey, look, everybody, we're having a meeting on Thursday night, everybody bring guests. Recognize everyone who brought guests. Because guess what they're going to do the next week? They're going to bring two guests the next week because they want to earn more recognition. The first, you know, bringing one the last week made them feel like a hero. I'm going to be a hero again. I'm going to bring two or three next week. Okay? And then the third thing I would say to you guys as top earners is focus on your team culture. You know, it's easy to get lost in this, in the idea of just, you know, kind of being the driver, you know, just do this, do that, produce, recruit, work. And some of the most thriving organizations, and by the way, I don't know everything about your all's team, but I know enough about it because I talk to Arlene and Warren, and I see your all's pictures, and I see how they are as leaders. Their hearts are bigger than their cars. So at the end of the day, I know that they're doing a great job, and I know you all are following suit, I'm sure, because all you're going to do is just model your mentors. But, you know, building team culture, you know, making people feel included. You can do things that are inclusion-exclusion as far as motivating people. So you might have, you know, things that people can earn their way into a private dinner. And, you know, people will do all kinds of things to earn their way into a private inner circle dinner. Those are great things you can do as a part of your team culture to cause, you know, production and cause people to be motivated. But all overall, you know, work fun back into the fundamentals. Make sure people are having fun. If people dread doing this as a business, then they're not going to do it. You know, so you got to make sure it's fun. You got to make sure that it's serving and helping others, and it's also profitable. And if you can have fun, help people make money all at the same time, what else is there in life, right? So those are kind of three tips I would say to the top earners.
Oh, man. Love it. Yeah, get back to recruiting. Lead by example, right? Recognition. I mean, babies cry for it, and grown men will die for it, right? And it's just, I'm guilty of that too, Brian. I mean, Arlene is stepping in just like Melissa, and you know what? We want to get better at recognizing people when they get their first enrollment. Like, congratulations, that's huge. Right,
absolutely.
And then the team culture, absolutely. We got to keep it fun. Remember, it's about helping people, not getting from people. And if you do that, the money will follow. I love it. Absolutely love it. Okay, now what about if we want to relaunch your business? Next 90 days, we want to go. We want to see a solid bump. Let's say we're shooting for at least a $2,000 increase in the next 90 days. Like for in our company, it'd be like, say, jumping up by 10 cycles. Okay, so we want to see a 10-cycle increase, a little over $2,000 a month. What are some activities that if you were working with people and they're ready to go, they're committed, they want to build, what are some of the things to really launch it?
Well, here's what I would do. I would just make a commitment that it's not going to be just, hey, I'm going to try it again. I'm going to relaunch. I'll see what happens. You know, this business is such a business of convenience in most people's minds. Yeah, there's very little money to get started in the business. You don't have any real overhead or commitment. It is easy to get in. It's also easy to get out. So, you know, from that standpoint, get a commitment waged into your calendar. What I mean by that, look, I've built my business on 90-day runs. You know, in 90 days, you can literally give a massive burst of energy and commitment and urgency and focus, and you can explode it. You know, whether you're trying to rank advance, whether you're trying to go full time and quit that job or whatever the case might be. So I would say, hey, look, you know, pull out your calendar and say, all right, for the next 90 days, I'm willing to triple up my efforts, which means I'm going to spend a little less time with my kids, a little less time with my spouse, a little less time doing, you know, working out in the gym, a little less time. People say, whoa, hold up, Ryan. You're talking about, you know, taking away from your balanced life. You're talking about, I'm doing this business for my kids. You want me to take time away from my kids? I already have a little time. That's why I'm doing this. You're crazy. Hey, look, you have to step back and be real, okay? We all have 24 hours in a day. And if you say that you're doing this business for your kids because you're unhappy with the quality of life or the amount of time you have with your kids right now, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting things to change. So if you want more quality time with your kids, you have to be willing to take a little bit of that time that you have with them away right now to pour into your business for 90 days so that soon enough you'll have a lot more and better quality time with your kids. People say, well, you know, I try to talk to my team about doing activities on Sunday during football season. God forbid they do something having to do with their financial future and their own well-being if it might take away from them watching a Sunday football game on a couch. And I tell people, I say, look, you have to be willing to take away a little bit of football time off your couch. Like DVR or record the game. Tell your friends not to spoil it and tell you the score. And when you get home and it's after hours at 9 o'clock at night, then pop it on and watch the game. Be willing to give up some couch time for football on Sundays now so you own box seats at your favorite stadium a couple years from now. You just have to be willing to kind of give yourself a 90-day spurt of all-out massive action. You can relaunch your business if you've been stuck in the mud, or if you're kind of plateaued, you can springboard off of that plateau up to another plateau. I got stuck at 40 grand a month for 2 years. And you know what my mentor said? He said, Brian, how in the world did you get to 40 grand a month in the first place? I showed him what I did. I showed him how I really just exploded into that. He goes, well, why don't you just explode off of that plateau and get yourself into another plateau at 60 or 80 grand a month? And you might get stuck there for a little bit because you know why? You probably got off the elevator to rest a little bit, catch your breath, but then you'll be ready for another explosion for another 90 days. So I would encourage you guys to do that. Something else I might want to work in here is, you know, and by the way, you're not hearing me talk about a lot. I mean, I've got plenty to talk about, you know, but we need a lot more time. We'll talk at the end of this call.
Well, I was here with you, Brian. I'm going to pull you on. Maybe we'll talk afterwards, but I'd love to have you back on in the next couple of weeks and literally talk about that 90-day burst in detail, because I have a bunch of people that are hungry to hit it, hungry to make it happen, and they're prepared to pay the price, short-term pain for long-term gain, right?
Yep.
Now, what about this? Because this comes up often also, Brian. People have been in for a while. They've talked to their family members. Their friends know they're doing this network marketing thing. And, Brian, I don't have anyone else to talk to. Like, how do I find people? Like, where are you getting the 10 people a month to enroll? Can we talk about that? Because that's an industry norm where people sort of go through the perceived warm market, and now what?
Yeah, I got it. Well, here's the thing. Everybody should start with people they care about. If you believe in your product, you would want everybody that you care about to have it, to benefit from it. If you believe in your opportunity, you should want everybody that you care about to benefit from your opportunity. So your friends, your neighbors, your family members, your old coworkers, your old classmates, people from church. I mean, everybody's got a warm market. Some people know a few more people than others. But so I get people that come on board my team and say, hey, look, how do I advertise? I'm like, advertise? What are you talking about advertising for? Because I don't want to talk to people, you know, I don't really know anybody. I need to find people I can advertise this to. I'm like, you don't know anybody? I mean, even monks know other monks. I mean, you know people. But what they're saying is they don't believe in our product or in our opportunity enough to talk to people they care about it. So right there, and you know, and by the way, every company, every organization has people that they're afraid to go to their friends and family, either because they need to work on their belief in the company or product or the opportunity, or they're afraid that they don't want to be a salesperson and be pushy. I hear people say it all the time. I had a guy here in Virginia that talked to a friend 2 weeks ago about our service, and I said, "Hey, did you sign him up? I was not her. I was a lady. Did you sign her up?" He goes, "Well, she's interested, but I didn't want to push her, so I'm just letting her think about it." I'm like, you don't want to push her? I mean, look, what do you mean you don't want to push her? So that literally 2 nights later on our team call, I did a whole topic, a whole training on that whole, you know, this whole idea of being pushy or not being pushy. And it's so funny because he was on that conference call, and then he texts me after. He goes, "I hear you, man. You're talking about me." But he finally got it because I had to spend time on it. That's why we need deep drills into a lot of these topics. But I'll simply say this. You know, if you feel like you're being pushy, then you're doing too much talking and not enough listening. So I would encourage everybody to stop selling and start solving. Stop recruiting and start solving. What do I mean? Look, God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth for a reason. If he wanted us to do more talking than listening, he would have given us 1 ear and 2 mouths, okay? So all we need to do is just listen. You know, if you listen to people, they'll tell you what they would need to hear to want to buy. Look, nobody wants to sell their friends and family on something. And by the way, they don't want to be sold by you on something. But the beautiful thing is if you actually just find out what problems in their life that your product or your opportunity can solve. Like, for example, they might have some health issues that your product can help fix. But instead of you coming at them saying, "Hey, I got this product, I want you to buy it," they already are putting their Heisman up there with stiff-arming you in the face because they don't want you selling them something. They don't even know what they're saying no to. But what if you said to them, "Hey, look, I've been experiencing this health challenge. You know, here's what I was feeling, and here's how, you know, and so I went for a search, and I found something that's fixing it for me. I'm so excited about it." Hey, have you ever experienced any kind of a situation like this with health challenges? And they might say, "Well, I'm having this challenge over here." Hey, look, let me tell you something. You need to take a look at this. Or an opportunity, for example, because I do a lot of recruiting. I focus mostly on recruiting. So instead of me saying, "Hey, look, you know, Warren, your kids are really not happy with you. You're spending very little time with them. Okay, you're missing out on your kids growing up, and you'll never get that time back. I bet you're probably crying tonight about it." Or, "Hey, look, I know you got this job, Warren. I know you're working 60 hours a week. Probably, you know, hate rush hour traffic. You probably wake up every single morning worried about having a heart attack because you're just stressed out and not liking life. You know, you need to do something about that." You know, you never want to attack someone because they're going to go on the defensive. "What are you talking about? No, I like my job. I don't mind the commute. So why ever get into that position where they're going to have to defend and stand up for what it is that their problems are? All you got to do is talk about yourself and the problems that you have and then ask them, "Hey, you relate at all?" So if I say to Warren, if I know Warren's got a lot of time away from his family and he's working his tail off, all I would say is, "Hey, Warren, you know how my real estate career is, I don't know if I really talk to you about this ever, but it's driving me bananas. I mean, I'm working 60 hours a week, 8 to faint. I feel like I have no time for family, no time for friends. I'm on a treadmill to oblivion, going nowhere fast, and it's driving me. I feel like I'm going to die. I'm going to kill over. And I don't know if you can relate to feeling like you're on that kind of a grind as well. But look, I went looking for some kind of a solution so I can find a way to get the kind of income coming in on the side so I can get off this treadmill and get my time back. I want to be a stay-at-home dad or at least at home with my son more, go to his games more. Can you relate?" And you know what Warren's going to say? "I feel you, man. Hey, look, man, I went on a search, man. I think I found the solution, and I've never been this excited about my future ever. You ought to take a look at what it is that I found." And then I send them to a video, have them listen to a conference call, invite them to a presentation. So again, stop selling, start solving. If you can find the pain points by simply asking or listening. And by the way, people are always complaining anyway. If you just listen to people, look, I don't like negativity, but I'll listen for it because I know if I can find them having something negative in their life, either my product or my opportunity is going to be able to be a solution for them. So hopefully that will help everybody realize that whether it's people you know or people that you meet, you could be at a restaurant, you could be at a social party, you could be at a family reunion, just listen and you'll have unlimited prospects walking 3 feet in front of you all the time.
Wow. I love that. Stop selling, start solving. I mean, everyone, guys, I know there's going to be thousands of people listening to this call, the replay. Stick that on your mirror in the morning when you're putting on your makeup or the guys are shaving, and just see the words start or stop selling, start solving. Just so that it's in your mind every day. It's in your mind, in your mind. It's just going to change who you are. Again, it's Brian's language. We all say the same thing, but we get different results. Why? It's how we say it. Man, Brian, I can't believe how quick time's going. I mean, there's so much data in your book, Building an Empire. I know we have thousands of these books out amongst our team. And you mentioned earlier in the call, I heard you say something about it, this locker room training. What the heck's, what are you up to, my friend?
Well, here's the, at the end of the day, everybody on this line I know is on a team that has great leadership. Not everybody in the industry feels like they've got great leadership in their upline. So you guys are all very fortunate to have somebody like that. And I had that in my career as well. But what I did is I invested in myself. I invested in my business in several different ways. It comes down to, you know, books, CDs, webinars, seminars, systems. I mean, I was willing to pay, you know, I was willing to invest so that I can get myself to another level. Because money, like water, seeks its own level. If you're stuck at $50,000 a year in earnings with whatever you've done in your life, how are you ever going to be a six-figure earner or a seven-figure earner? Until you become a six- or seven-figure person, the income is never going to get that high, because money, like water, seeks its own level. It'll come down to wherever you are. So with that in mind, can you imagine doing what I did, which was seeking out people that were not even in my company? I that's what I did. And so that's what I am now doing for the entire network marketing field, the whole network marketing profession. I want to be there as a coach to help everybody. So my legacy, I thought, was going to be the lives that I changed in my own downline organization. That's what all I thought it was for a decade and a half. Then I realized when I was invited out to a GoPro event and I was put up on stage, and the people coming up to me in the hallway 4 years ago before I started writing books, and they said, hey, what you shared up there, I've never heard that before. I never heard it in that way. Man, that just opened up a whole new realm for me. And I'm like, man, people just need to hear the stuff that I've spent all these hours. I mean, I've spent 30,000 hours out there in the trenches learning, you know, flying around the country, you know, learning and doing and learning and doing and learning and doing. And what happened if I got run over by a car tomorrow and all that died with me? That's why I wanted to put it in archive it and put it out there for everybody to have in the books. So, but I'm not here to sell any books. But I'm here to tell you is last night I launched a five-hour training program called Locker Room Training. And look, people, again, want to feel loved and respected. So it's, sometimes you're going to find that your upline, your sponsor, your upline leader, they either might not know exactly what to do to tell you, or they might not feel comfortable telling you the hard things, right? You guys can probably tell, I don't sugarcoat anything. I mean, I am as raw as they come. And so the locker room basically is the coach taking the football team during halftime into the locker room, closing the doors, locking them. The fans in the stands can't hear a thing. It's not for the fans. It's not for the spectators. It's not for the bench warmers. It's the coach talking to the players going to go back out there in the second half, and he needs to get in their face and really drill down so they go out of there knowing exactly what they need to do to win. That's what this is. It's 5 hours, DVD, CD, digital access, drilling into this. You know, I just grazed a few topics. I mean, this five-hour course can literally cut years and years and years off of somebody's learning curve. I mean, I've got seven-figure earners out there across the board that are out there telling people they need to go get this course as of last night, because I got them copies of it a few weeks ago, and they went through the course and like, this is some of the best training. And by the way, even though I might sound like I'm not uncomfortable, I am uncomfortable talking like this about me, but it's been very amazing and humbling hearing some of the legends out there saying it's some of the best training they've ever, you know, put their hands on. But anyway, here's the thing. If you actually go and check it out right now, go to empirebuildertraining.com, empirebuildertraining.com. And look, part of the thing, one of the things I teach people, so I'm going to do the same thing with you all right now that I teach people to do in their network marketing businesses, which is to create urgency. If you don't have urgency, your prospects won't pull the trigger and join you. If you don't have urgency, your distributors won't go out there and get into action. So we always have to find ways to create urgency for people. Well, I'm going to share with you some urgency right now because, look, you might know that I hold some answers for you, but if you don't go get those answers, it did nothing for you. The course, the whole five-hour training program, to be able to get it digitally, it's $497 is what the price tag is going to be. And then also, if you want the CDs and DVDs, that's $497. On top of that, anybody who gets this course, they're going to get a 12-month webinar, live coaching webinar for a year. Every month, I will be coaching with, I'll be walking side by side with you over the next 12 months of your journey, coaching you every month with live Q&A, everything. So you'll have live webinars every month for 12 months, and then replays of those webinars as well. That's a $1,200 value each on those. Add everything up, this whole locker room training program with those bonuses, you're talking about $3,300 in value that's there. I just launched it last night for this launch period for the next few days, $297, everything. Bonuses, webinars, digital, DVD, CD, everything. Access anywhere you fly around the world. You'll be able to get in and access that training anytime you want to for $297 one time. So just wanted to make sure that you all knew that it was a special deal because after the launch period, you know, just days from now is over, then it's going to go back to $497 for each of the programs, however you want to access it, and $1,200 to be able to have the ongoing annual or the next 12 months of live webinars with me. So hopefully that and by the way, I would encourage you guys to thank Warren and Arlene for inviting me on and to do this call because, you know, I'm on here because they asked me to jump on and share some of this, you know, valuable stuff that can help you guys out in your businesses. I'm not here to how do I phrase this? If I sell a bunch of these programs, which I am, I mean, as I'm sitting here, I've had like 13 or 14 more things just come through the email of people that are learning about it and buying it. I don't need another car in my garage. I'm not moving out of this house anytime in the next 30 years. We're going to build a family here. So understand that what I'm doing this for, you know, the $300 that you're going to invest, first of all, I'm going to be putting all that into charity. So I don't need anything else for me. Okay. So it's going to support good causes. So I want you to feel good about that. But here at the end of the day, you got to ask yourself the question, are you willing to spend two things, $300 of your money and 5 hours of your life to learn what it's going to take to take you from where you are right now? You might be stuck or you might be flying, but either way, to get to a completely new level, is that investment worth it for you? And if after what I've shared with you tonight so far, in the hour we've been on here, 45 minutes, whatever, if you don't feel compelled, then I did what I could do. I hope that you feel compelled, and I hope that you will take action, because if you don't take action, nothing new is going to change. And if you're looking for a change, you can't keep doing the same thing. I'm here to be your coach along with the Lances, and I promise you, I will work with you every step of the way to make sure you get to where you want to go.
Wow, Brian. if that locker room training is anything like your book, you've packed so much value. I was talking to one of the major network marketing organizations that puts out materials, and they said, what the heck were you thinking? This book should have been broken into 6 miniseries, so you had to buy 6 of these books to be the one building the empire. That's not what Brian wanted to do. He wanted to create a book, Building the Empire, which was sort of like the Bible of network marketing right now that anyone could buy at an affordable price, and it's all laid out. This locker room training is intensive. It's, as he said, it's the coach slamming the door at halftime and telling you what you need to hear to move your business forward. And I can tell you, you're going to see Arlene and I on those live webinars with Brian, because I mean, he's invested the 30,000 hours, right? To become a master, you have to invest 10,000 hours. Why do I go to these generic training events? Why did I have Michael Klaus mentoring me for years and years, 6.5 years before he ever got back into the industry? Why? Because I recognize the value, and a lot of times it's not that we don't have great trainers in our company, and we do, it's the languaging. If I can pick up a couple of nuggets going through that course that I can then share with my team and help my team become successful, it's the cheapest $300 I'll ever invest. So Brian, I just want to say thank you so much for joining us tonight. I wrote it down. I want to be correct. The website you're saying, if the Take Action team wants to get a discount, they have to go to www.empirebuildertraining.com, correct?
Yep.
And okay, and then you sign up there, and then they'll get the information. Yep. And it's, I think you said if it's in North America, you're going to get the CDs like mailed to you. But if you're international, then you're going to get the where you log in through the internet.
Absolutely. And either way, anywhere globally, you all get the digital access, but you also will get on the live webinars and the replay of those webinars.
Cool, my friend. And you know what? I am going to have you back on about that 90-day push. You got me all fired up. I'm excited. So
well,
with that,
Warren, just so you know, that 90-day run, I spent a solid 25 minutes in that locker room training, diving into that very deeply. So I think once you dig into that, you're going to find just what you and your team are looking for.
Again, buddy, it's all languaging, so you know I'm going to twist your arm to join us again. With that, everyone, have an amazing week. I'm so excited about what's going on. I mean, this is our year for our company to break $1 billion in sales, and I'm fired up. So have a blessed week. Brian, once again, thank you so much for your time, my friend.
Hey, have a great night. Give Arlene my best.
Okay. Say hi to Melissa, too. Bye.